Anybody ever notice that we are right in the middle of the hot days of summer? I think most of us have noticed that. I think it's been hot all over. I was talking to Rick Sharkey up in Spokane, Washington. It was 104 degrees up there, and that's unusual for that area. But they only had like 10% humidity. I told him, I said, if it's 104 here and we with our humidity, it feels like 114. But he was talking about how hot it was. And, you know, the hot temperatures, they take a toll on air conditioning. Any of you had any air conditioning problems this summer? Yeah, we have. We have got one we got to fix out there. Thank God for it that there's two of them out there. Or we'd be a little bit warm in here today. But sometimes it's we have in our natural lives, we have heat and pressure on us. And I don't know that anybody endured pressure and situations in their life more than the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, I'm going to read this from three different translations. We'll start off with the New King James. And he says here, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, not the New Living Bible, but the Old Living Bible. You know, they had one that was translated, it could just call the Living Bible. And it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. The New International Reader Version says, we are pushed hard from all sides, but we are not beaten down. We are bewildered, but that doesn't make us lose hope. Others may make us suffer, but God does not desert us. We are knocked down, but we're not knocked out. You know, knocked down, but not knocked out. That's if you want to give a title to what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to call knocked down but not knocked out. You know, in boxing sometimes a guy gets knocked down but he gets up. You know, I never forget, I was a junior in high school, and so the coach had us all boxing, and I'm sitting there, and my cousin used to box a little bit in the Golden Gloves, and Uncle Dub had taught me and him both how to box a little bit. And Uncle Dub was a good boxer. In fact, he was the heavyweight champion of the Army, Navy, Air Force, and the Marines, and the Coast Guard. After World War II, he was still in the service. And so I'm messing around, you know, fainting and hitting, jabbing and trying to do stuff. That kid, I can see his face, but I forget his name. But he caught me, and I fell back. And they said, you come off of those ropes, and you were swinging with everything. They said he was hitting you, and you wasn't even acting like it was even phasing you. You just kept going till he went down and didn't get up. That's what we have to do when the devil hits us and knocks us down. Get up and come back swinging, because he's going to keep knocking. But you just come back swinging with the word of God. Amen? You know, Paul said here he was hard-pressed. Anybody ever been there? He was perplexed. Oh, I don't guess any of us ever had that problem. He was persecuted. He was knocked down. But he said he wasn't crushed or broken. He said he wasn't driven to despair. He said God hadn't forsaken him just because he's having some problems. You know, some people think just because they're having problems that God's left them. No, God hadn't left you. Even Jesus had a problem with the devil. Remember, he was tempted. We all going to have a problem with the devil. We got to realize God never forsakes you. You know, Paul said here he wasn't destroyed. He might have been knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out and he wasn't destroyed. You know, I think that shows us that when you go through all of these things, because if you'll read the life of the Apostle Paul, he went through a lot of situations. He was left for dead. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was put in prison. All of these things. And I don't know that any of us have faced those kind of pressure situations yet, but we all face various kinds of pressure and situations and things. And you know why? Because we have an enemy called Satan. He hates God. He hates the things of God. He hates the children of God, who we are. And he is trying to destroy the things of God. He'll try to destroy you. But he can't if you keep looking to the Word of God. He can't take you under. You know, as you live life and you see people and you see how people respond in different situations. I mean, I've been in this all my life. My dad was a minister, and I grew up in the minister's house, and I grew up in the church, and then I've been doing it myself for 60 years. People respond different ways to the pressures of life. You know, some just get overwhelmed, and they just become passive and do nothing. Whatever will be, I guess. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever seen somebody like that? Yeah. And then other people, they just exploded everything. It don't matter whether it's the problem and whether it's the person or the what's causing the problem, they just exploded everything. And then some people just internalize it until they have physical problems. And some turn to alcohol and drugs. And some people develop serious emotional problems. What do we need to do when you come to the point, the pressure's on, you're perplexed, you don't know what's going to happen? What do we do? That's the question. Well, I had the privilege of growing up with a man that knew what to do. I watched him handle all kinds of situations as I was growing up. His name was Kenneth E. Hagin, my father. And you know what he would do? He would always turn to the Word of God. If anybody asked him, "What do I need to do in this situation, Brother Hagin?" "What does the Word of God say?" See, your answer is in God's Word. When you're facing the pressures of life, when you're facing difficulties, you need to go and see what the Word says. The first thing you need to do is remember who you are in Christ. That's one of the most important things that we can get a hold of, is the new creation realities. Who we are in Christ. Of course, all of us know this verse. We quote it all the time. "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We quote it all the time. But we need to and then we know this one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." He didn't sin. He took it willfully. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to remind ourselves who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. You know, sometimes you need to just stop and remember that wonderful feeling when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anybody remember that? Well, I got About 150 people raised their hand. Did the rest of you not experience? I mean, I experienced something whenever I got saved. How many of you experienced something when you got saved? Yeah, now that's more like it, okay? We need to sometimes go back and remember that. You got to remember the joy that filled you up. Remember the peace that came in upon you. You know. All we need to go back and remember. In dealing with people in marriage counseling, sometimes one thing that they tell you: go back and remember your courtship days. Go back and remember why you got married in the first place. Hello. You know, we need to, if we go back and remember what God has done for us, it encourages us. You know, the old song said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Glory to God. You know, You need to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself about who you are in Christ. You know, you need to say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm accepted by God. You know, we need to rely on who we are in Christ when we face these difficult obstacles in our life. You know, we all quote this word all the time. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, then if the greater one's on the inside of you, then you can overcome anything that comes your direction. See, sometimes it's a matter of just reminding ourselves and pumping ourselves up. See yourself overcoming. See yourself being an overcomer. There's not a person here that's played football, baseball, basketball that a coach hadn't said to the, see yourself winning. Anybody ever heard that from a coach? Why? Because that creates an atmosphere for that you can realize that you can do it in. See, we need to go back to the Word of God and continue to dwell on these scriptures of who we are in Christ. And because we're in Him, He'll handle the pressure for us. How many of you have been there and done that? Yeah, we wouldn't be here today if we hadn't. But I just want to stir up your pure minds. As Peter said to him in his writings, as long as he's in his body, he's going to keep reminding his constituents. And as long as I'm up here preaching, I'm going to keep reminding you of the things that the Word of God says. You know, teachers in school kept every time you went back to school, they reminded you every year. To start off with, they remind you of the old things, right? School's fixing to start. You know, man, we need to remember that God's will, what God's will is for our lives. You know, but it says in 3 John 2. Now, see, we all know it's the will of God for us to be saved and so forth. But in 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So God is saying here, it's His will for us to be prosperous and healthy. Hello. So if it's His will for us to be prosperous and healthy, when the enemy comes in and tries to say, oh, you're going to remain in lack, you're going to be sick, we got to go back to the Word of God and get what the Word of God said. And the Word of God says that all my needs are supplied. The Word of God says that I'm healed and I'm whole by the blood, by the stripes that Jesus took upon His back. You see, we need to remind ourselves. Oh, we've heard these things. You know, sometimes when you start preaching like this, somebody says, oh, I heard that. And they turn it off, just like you do a commercial when it comes on the TV. You need to not turn it off. You need to remind yourself over and over and over again what this word says about your life. Your life. See, all of us are concerned about us. My dad used to say to me, he said, son, learn to pray for yourself because you care for yourself more than anybody else. Now somebody said that's conceited, but it's the truth. Hello, come on. Don't sit there and look at me like that. You know better. You know, God has specific plans and directions for every one of us. Some are called into the ministry. Others, God has them working in the secular field or has a different vocation or profession. Some are sent to faraway places. Some stay home. Some have their own ministry and our business or company. Others are employees. You see, God doesn't have a bunch of clones. He's got people scattered everywhere in every area of life. And quit trying to get out of the area that God's got you in. Just because you think it is better on the other side of the fence. You know what? I saw a cartoon in a magazine one time. There's a fence. The cow on this side of the fence, he's got his head stuck through the fence eating grass on the other side of the fence. This cow got his head stuck through the fence eating grass over here, and it's the same grass. And besides that, you may not want to be up here because there's some problems goes with being up here that you ain't ever faced. And I don't want to be where you are because there's problems where you are that I ain't ever faced. So stay where God's got you. I got another sermon I preached something called Bloom Where You're Planted. You know, if you plant a seed in the ground, you got to let it bloom. If you dig it up and try to plant it somewhere else, it don't work. Come on now. See, I don't know who said this, but this is fantastic. Listen to this. God's blueprint for your life is like a fingerprint. There is not another like it. That's a good thought. I tell you what. There's the picket sitting there. I tell you what, I don't want to be where they are because that's not where God called me, but God called them there and it works. What am I trying to say? If you stay where God's got you, everything works good. You try to get out of that and it goes haywire. I know a businessman one time. God really opened it up in the area of development and developing houses and apartment complexes and all kinds of stuff. And he got out of that and tried to invest it in something else, and he started losing his shirt. And he got to praying, and God said, Where did I call you and bless you? And he said, well, in the real estate area. He said, get back there. He got back there and came right back. Listen, it's important that you stay where God's got you. Well, I don't like it. Well, go talk to God about it. Because that's where he's got you. Sometimes he's got you there because he wants to teach you something so he can take you somewhere else. Hello. Why did I, as a senior in Bible college, have to leave Bible college and go spend 3 years in U.S. Army? Don't make sense, does it? But now it does. Because the things I learned there has helped me in the ministry immensely. Don't despise where God's got you. Just begin to operate in that area. Learn everything you can. And if that's where he keeps you, then you stay there till he tells you to move. My dad was a real stickler for that. And in fact, Rich will tell you, Rich King and some of them that travel with him on the road, he was a real stickler for you stay where God's got you. Right, Rich? Yeah, how many times you heard him tell people that? Especially some of the people that were traveling. They tried to jump out too fast. And some of them wouldn't listen. And I don't mean this wrong, but they never accomplished what they could have accomplished. Hello, come on now. Don't look at me like that. I'm preaching better than your amening. You know, I'm going to say that again. God's blueprint for your life is like a fingerprint. There is not another like it. We are individuals made by God for a purpose. Then we got to walk in that purpose. It may not be much fun. You know, I'm sitting here, I look, there's Barry and Adrian Jensen. They're over in the Ukraine. There's Vidar and Catherine Lagarde right there. They're over in Kenya. And there's the Pickets in Iraq. Hey, I'm sure that's not fun, but that's where God has called them. Hello. And they're making a mark for the kingdom. I look and see others of you that are in business world. That's where God's got you. Then you make a mark for him there. God needs people in the business place. God needs people in the factory. God needs people mechanicking. God needs people fixing air conditioners so we can be cool. God needs people fixing hot water heaters so I don't have to take a cold shower. I've done that too many times. Come on now. How many understand where Pastor's coming from this morning? If you're in God's will, then trust him. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. I know it says man, but look at New Living says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He wants to be involved in every detail of your life, not just part of it. Everything. You know, the same God that created all of this, according to Genesis chapter 1, he spoke, he said, let there be, and there was. That same God, with all of his power, is speaking into your life and directing your life. So don't let anything stop you from accomplishing what God has for you. Hello? You know, remember those who made it through difficult situations. You know, Hebrews 6:12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. The New Living, that's the New King James, the New Living says, follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promise because of their faith and endurance. The Voice says, walk in the footsteps of the faithful who came before you, from whom you can learn to be steadfast in pursuing the promises of God. You know, most everybody has somebody that they look up to, especially in our Christian world. I guess it's one word to say, but most all of you have someone that you look to as an example. You know, well, let's follow their faith. Somebody said, well, I follow Brother Hagin. No, don't follow Brother Hagin. Follow his faith. I follow this one or I follow that one. No, follow their faith. You know, let us realize that if God helped them to overcome, he'll help you. If God helped them where they are, or were, then he'll help you where you are. If God helped them when they were in need, then he'll help you when you're in need. Hello. You know, I have three men that have spoken in, that spoke into my life. First of all, was my pastor, Brother Leonard Wood. He was my pastor as a young boy. And then my father, of course, first would be my father, then my pastor. And then my father-in-law, V.E. Tipton. Those three men spoke into my life at different times and different periods in my life that caused me to be able to be where I am today. I imagine each one of you can say that there are individuals that have helped you to be where you are today. Am I right or wrong? Of course, number one is God. That's an assumed thing. You don't have to say. But we're talking about imitating and following those that have followed God. You know, when we look at the Apostle Paul, I believe that we have an example of someone that successfully handled difficulties in life. You know what? Paul always remembered what God had done for him. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said that God enabled him. See, God will enable you and strengthen you and put you where you need to be. That's what Paul's saying here. And then Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That was his motto. Needs to be yours. I can do all things through Christ. See, when you feel all alone and you feel the pressure on every side, God is still there. When you feel like nobody cares, God is still there. Come on now. When you feel like you can't make it, God is still there saying, come on, you can do it. You know, I never will forget the only time that my dad ever saw me run any or play any sporting event is a track meet. And I never will forget, I was running the 220, and I came off of that curve because we started up on the curve. I'm coming down that straight, and I'm giving everything I got because, man, Dad's there, and I'm a junior in high school, and he's never been to see me run before, and I know I'm out in front because I come off that curve, and there ain't nobody on either side of me, so I know I'm out in front. Man, I am really coming down. I'm giving it everything I got. I mean, man, I'm kicking out and getting those long strides. In fact, they measured my stride one time. My stride was at least 1.5 yards every time I took a step because I was flying. You know, I weigh 140 pounds and 6'2", so skinny as a rail, about like my grandson sitting over there. Hey, enjoy the days. And I never will forget. I'm coming down through there, and he leans out over, and I'm coming down. He leans out over, and I'm coming down like probably about far here back to those doors back there. And he leans out and yells, "He's catching you!" And man, I reached back with everything I had. I hit that tape and went off the track, and I'm 10 yards in front of everybody. Now, here's my point. He looked at me and said, "Now you know how fast you really can run." That's what God is saying to you right now. Now you know how much I can help you in your situation. Come on now. He never will leave you alone. He'll always be there. You know, Paul was always talking about who he was in Christ, what he had in Christ, what he could do in Christ. He was always thanking God for the victory. You know, Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:11, New Living, you know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from it all. He's telling you right there, he was persecuted, suffered, all of these things. But he said, the Lord has rescued me, and he'll do it for you. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. If he did it for David, he'll do it for you. If he did it for the three Hebrew children, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Peter, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Kenneth E. Hagin, he'll do it for you. If he did it for whoever, he'll do it for you. See, God wants you to walk in victory. He didn't ever promise that you wouldn't have any trials or tribulation, but he said there in John 16:33 that he had overcome the world. In fact, he said, you're going to have troubles and trials, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. See, we need to be more like the Apostle Paul. Realize, hey, you may be being knocked around, but just because you're being knocked around doesn't mean you have to be knocked out. You can get up and keep on keeping on and keep on going. You know, Satan may turn up the pressure, but remember, with God, you can finish your race. Keep on believing what the Word says. Keep on saying what the Word says. Say to yourself, in the most pressured situation, I can face that situation because God is with me. I can deal with the pressure because of who I am in Christ. I can get up and keep going until I finish because God is running with me. Come on now. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this? I think I preached long enough. Let's stand up and praise the Lord today because of who we are in Christ and what we can do and we can accomplish and we can have victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I done preached me happy. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can keep me from enjoying what God has said belongs to me. Nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got something you want to sing?
Absolutely. Yes, Tanae. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Say it.
A victor in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and point at him and tell him, you're a victor in Christ Jesus. Nothing can keep you from winning as long as you stay with God. Hallelujah. Bow your heads just a moment. I never like to preach a sermon. I don't have given up an invitation for somebody to find Jesus. You know, you can't get in on what I've been talking about this morning until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or if you know what it is to walk with God like I was talking about today, but you know you're just not where you're supposed to be, then you need to come and rededicate your life to God. Anybody on any one of those invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life to God. Anybody in this place, anywhere, let me see your hand, because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So anybody, raise your hand, upstairs, downstairs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I don't see any hands today. But if there be one person in this place that does not know you as their personal Savior, or one person in this place that needs to rededicate their life, I thank you that they will not be satisfied doing anything until they stop and accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, remember, there's going to be pressure. Hello. But what? We can what? Overcome. How? By the blood of the Lamb, through the word of our testimony, by the word of God. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. We have 1,701 on Rhema TV and 826 on Facebook Live. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Next Sunday, remember, next Sunday is special back to school Sunday. It's going to be a great time. Hey, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, is the Hour of Power. Be here, praise God. Don't forget all the announcements. Read that bulletin right there. All right, we dismiss around here by singing a chorus, and they're going to do that in just a minute, but the connection team is going to go find our first-time guests and take them to a special room so they can get that special gift that we put together for you. And it's really a nice one, too. All right. If you want to know where the pastoral staff's going to be, there's our, it's on the deal. I'm going north today. So there's where everybody's going. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus, dismiss you. We'll see you here tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless. Remember, you might get knocked down, but you don't have to get knocked down, all right? God bless.